Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of The X Collective. Today's topic is about the war for talent, hybrid work and the great resignation. What are the consequences for hiring talent globally and how to benefit as a founder? And today I have the privilege to host Dennis Valkema, country manager and expansion lead for Deel in the Benelux. Deel, one of the most extraordinary growth stories at this moment in time, a company that facilitates global payroll compliantly within minutes anywhere in the world. Dennis, welcome.
Thank you.
Cool. Great to have you here. Before we start, can you maybe introduce yourself a little bit, tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, of course. So first and foremost, it's great to be here. It's lovely to be at Deel. I joined quite recently since we are still building up the business in this region as a focus area. Mm-hmm. Before I joined Deel, I actually worked quite an extensive time already in the HR IT industry bringing that experience into the building of Deel in the region. So it's very exciting times. And as you said, a growth story that is uncomparable. So it's really a good ride to be at.
Cool. Fantastic. That's great to hear. And can you tell us a little bit, you know, about the drivers, you know, what gets you up in the morning and what is your mission now with Deel?
Yeah, it's funny that you ask. What I started to realize a few weeks back is that I have this drive to start working immediately in the morning. So I'm on or off, but there's nothing in between. Main reason is the amazing culture of Deel. Everything is going super fast and everyone is on board. It's a very flat organization, very transparent from all angles that you can think of. So it's really, really a great vibe and a great culture to be part of.
Cool. And to put this into perspective, you guys operate on a full remote model and you've grown the team from zero to 700 plus in a window of 3 years, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So that obviously comes with its own set of challenges, which we will discuss in a bit. Before we do this, before we talk about dynamics in, let's say, talent acquisition globally and how hybrid and remote work influences, I would like to ask you three statements and I would like to get a yes or a no. And we will come back to these statements later on in the conversation.
Absolutely.
Cool. So Dennis, three statements. First, if competing for digital talent, enabling hiring hybrid or remote working is an imperative.
Absolutely.
Companies should care about talent acquisition as much as they care about customer acquisition.
That's a no-brainer to me, yes.
Interesting. Remote and hybrid work is more than implementing just solutions. It requires a fundamental change in company culture.
Yes, also.
Also?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not a yes or a no.
It is a yes.
Cool. A little bit still about Deel, because I think it's important for the audience to really understand, you know, what type of companies you serve and what the pain points are that you're solving for them. Can you elaborate a little bit on this?
Yeah, so in general, I would say that we facilitate remote work, remote hiring, to be more precise. And we do that in many ways that you can think of, whether you are working with contractors or through an employee of record model or even global payroll. We can facilitate all of that, and we do it in a very straightforward, easy way that is not only easy for the employer, but also for the employee. So we facilitate work anywhere, mm-hmm. With everyone, finding the best talent, regardless of their location. We facilitate it in a way that is so super easy to use that it's doable for everyone in every corner of the world.
Yeah. Sounds like a must, especially nowadays. And of course, the company's thriving on the back of recent developments. How was it done before?
So, yes, I'm not going to lie. The entire pandemic has helped, but it's a trend that we've seen or that I have seen over the last 5 years already. And some regions, some cultures were a bit ahead and others were a bit more hesitant. But I think what used to be is that it was still a company of culture in many, many regions, cultures of controlling, of ensuring that the work was done rather than trusting that the work was going to be done. And I think that's a big change that you see overall today. And that's a big ask from the potential or from the employee today.
Yep.
So it's a change in mindset that is coming, regardless if you like it or not. It is there. It's a fact. And that is something to be aware of. And if you're aware of it and adapting to it, you can be super successful and benefit from it. And if you don't, you may stand still, which would in the end become a big gap towards your competitors if they do adapt.
So this is more of a mega trend that you're describing, right?
Absolutely.
And it requires a mindset shift in both the perspective of talent as well as employers.
Yeah.
On the back of this, what trends and developments do you see occurring maybe over the last months or years and you expect to persist in time to come?
That's a good question. So the trend of digital nomads is something that we've seen, which came with new generations coming to the labor market. And even though it was a trend and it was only adapted by some, it is desired by many. Mm-hmm. So that definitely enforces the I want to be able to work from anywhere if the job allows, of course. If you're a bus driver, it's kind of hard to do. But when the job allows, it is definitely a desire that we see across the board. Better work-life balance, having the freedom and the confidence as an employee that what you do is right, and that what you do is appreciated, and that also takes into account what you as an employee need in order to be successful in your job. Having that full perspective, that is definitely the bigger trend behind all of this. And that was accelerated by the pandemic, of course, because the pandemic showed all of us that we are able to do it.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of resistance and companies were not able to do it. And then all of a sudden there was a lockdown. And the Monday after, everyone was working remote. So we could do it.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a sort of shock effect, if you will.
It is. And another trend that we see on top of that, which is... from a different perspective, is that it requires a different leadership style. Mm. Being a manager of a team with different generations in an office is already challenging. Being a manager of that same team remotely is far more challenging. So it requires different skills. It requires a different mindset from a manager. And that comes back again to what does the employee need in order to be successful. And if you have that perspective, and you can offer that, and you can facilitate that, then you're the type of leader that the new way of working actually needs.
Yeah, exactly. So you're describing this, you know, new way of working that leadership should adhere to. Can you elaborate a little bit? Because Deel is a remote-first company. You've been able to scale the company at a super incredible pace. How do you account for this kind of leadership style and methodology? What type of practical tips can you perhaps share with the founders who are listening?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's a great question. So going back to the early days of Deel, Deel actually started from that same pain. Setting up or working with people across the globe, finding the right talent, was challenging. It's no longer challenging, but it was challenging because it was cumbersome. You had to involve legal experts. It was expensive. It was very hard to find the right talent in general. Now, we have, from that pain, and our founders have, set up a company that actually facilitates it, but also always kept in mind the challenges that were faced in the early days. And therefore, the culture that we work in is very transparent. It's very low entry for everyone involved in it, whether that's a customer or an employee. Mm-hmm. And it values the employees, the internal organization, or the potential employee, so the candidate, as much as we value our customers, because it's an equal playing field for everyone involved in that. And I think that's probably the biggest difference from what I have experienced in the past, mm-hmm. Even though some companies were trying to get there, the level that I see it happening at Deal, that's what makes me excited. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning. Super. And I think that's not only for me, but it's also for the other 700 employees that we have.
And can you maybe detail with a few very practical examples of how this materializes then within the organization?
Yeah, so again, we use our own platform to do it. We have partners across the globe that facilitate the paperwork, the legal necessities that you need in order to work with talent everywhere. Mm-hmm. We facilitate the remote work and the remote hiring. We set up the culture in the way we think is best. We encourage as a company, and this is on all levels in the organization, that everyone is authentic. Mm-hmm. Everyone can have a bad day, but then just say. Mm-hmm. Everyone works very hard, and everyone is willing and able and daring to ask for help when needed. So it's not about telling what went wrong, but it's about encouraging what went well.
Cool. And, you know, understanding your company culture, it looks like, you know, you're leading the pack in terms of, you know, best practice on working remote and creating a cohesive culture. How do you expect that the expectations from talent have shifted or will shift over time?
So they will shift even further. But I think one of the outcomes of the pandemic, and I know it's a topic that's been discussed many times before, but one of the outcomes is that people got to realize that work-life balance is not only very important, but having the freedom to choose, which is basically the feeling behind all of this, that is more important. And that realization is now a big shift in a very tight labor market. It's very hard to find talent. And if you find them, it's a big competition. The war for talent is definitely there, and we can not ignore it. Mm-hmm. The great resignation is definitely happening. We see it across the board. So taking all of that into account, I think it is fired up by that feeling of I want something else, I want something different, and that else or different is that freedom of choice and the confidence and trust you're getting as an employee or would like to get, and yeah, maybe not be finding in your current job and therefore going out to find it elsewhere, or just to do that thing that you've dreamt of so long and never found, and now chasing after it because you got this awareness over the course of the last 2 years.
Yeah, clear. At RocketX, we do a lot of research amongst our partners to see, you know, what their approach is towards talent acquisition. And recently, we've also done a survey on, you know, way of working, and not as in process, but like type of operating model, like fully remote or on site or a mix. And we saw so many different answers. Founders are really struggling to figure out, you know, what operating model they should adhere to and why. I think when we briefly spoke before the session, you mentioned a stat on the key benefits that younger talent is looking for. And it was specifically regarding the fact that remote or hybrid working was one of their key benefits.
Absolutely, yes. So one of the trends, if you take it from that perspective, if you look at 5 or 10 years ago, the most important benefit or most important part of compensation for any employee was pay. Pay and commission. And later on, when the startup and scale-up wave started, equity definitely became part of that as well. Mm-hmm. But now, if you look at the same stats, the most important across the board, miles ahead of pay and commissions and whatever, is definitely remote work. Work-life balance. I want better work-life balance. Mm-hmm. Without that feeling of being controlled, but with the trust that I get the job done in the end and that it will be a good job. So it all comes back to that new way of thinking and that new desire that was fired up already far before the pandemic even started, but it did accelerate this consciousness across the board. So it's interesting to see that shift in what is appreciated as a benefit, whether hard monetized or a soft benefit in general.
Yeah. So one of the counter remarks that we typically get is like, yeah, but I cannot build a cohesive culture. It's really hard for me to connect with employees. It's hard to, you know, have these serendipity moments if everybody is working purely remote. How do you counter this at Deel?
So if you're referring to the water boiler discussion, they tend to happen less, of course, and especially when everyone is super busy. You get in a call, you end the call, you get in the next call, and it's all about what the topic of the call is. So it is a challenge, but the best way to look at it from both our experience as well from what we're getting back from our client base and prospects, clients, the network that we talk with is if you want to succeed at it, don't look at it from the work angle, but look at it from the connection angle. Meaning it doesn't matter where you work, it matters where you connect. And if it's only remote, for certain individuals, it works pretty well, but then facilitated using technology. But people in the end are social animals, so we want to connect and we want to meet, but then do it in a smarter way. Meet to celebrate successes or meet to get together rather than to work.
Yeah, okay. So you have you've implemented policies and maybe facilities for people to connect over work or maybe, you know, after work if they want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so these actually stimulating these different styles, working styles and different, you know, characteristics, if you will, that is fundamental to building this cohesive culture.
Yes, absolutely. And training, not only management, but every individual in an organization to have that that natural interest in the other person. A very common question is, where are you calling from today? Ah, you're in Amsterdam today. Tell me a bit about it. How was your travel? That can be only a few lines as a chit-chat getting into the call that actually gives a lot of insight in what is that type of person. How does he travel? What does he do or she? And what's life at home, etc. It's a few questions that actually make far more connection than sitting in an office talking about that job while you're physically together.
Understood. So by facilitating this, you know, if we transfer it to sales language, you would increase your total addressable market of talent, right?
Yes.
Because you can accommodate to different lifestyles, you can accommodate to different types of work, meaning that you also have, and of course, you can target candidates across the globe. We spoke about one of the statements where talent acquisition, in your opinion, should be treated as the same as customer acquisition. Can you elaborate a little bit on this statement?
Yeah, of course. So one of the trends that we saw 10 years ago, I think, was onboarding. Onboarding was the new buzzword. It was about the logistics around onboarding first, and then it was about onboarding, getting up to speed as soon as possible as an employee. And what we saw was that many organizations stopped after the onboarding. Then the person was on board up to speed and expected to stay up to speed with following what was dropped on an intranet or whatever. What you see today is that finding candidates and finding talent is a different approach. All the time and efforts went into customers and still go into, in many organizations, into customer satisfaction or customer attraction and getting as much business as possible. But in the end, the business is related to the people chasing after that business, facilitating that business, developing for that business. So if you approach the employee and the candidate in that way, making it easier to be attracted as an employer, you will find better talent regardless of that position. So then the addressable market is not your city and maybe two cities away from this, but your addressable market is the world all of a sudden. And that brings a tremendous amount of scalability options and the potential to always be able to find that right person, scale faster, scale more, and no longer have the restriction of talent in the development of your business.
Yeah, this is also something that we typically preach to our partners, where we say, like, you know, recruitment or talent acquisition, as you want to call it, really should be considered similar to customer acquisition. You need to build a solid brand, and that's more than just sticking up a few core values on the wall. You need to live it, you need to breathe it, like you're explaining with you. But also, people should be incentivized in talent acquisition the way they should be incentivized in sales, because in the end, you're selling the company to a talent, which is the most fundamental resource in building a strong company and setting you up for success. But the thing is, it's often treated as an afterthought, or it's really stuck in the old way of thinking. And this is something that we see a lot, and that is slowly starting to change this perspective. But it's a slow and steady process. In honesty, even, you know, despite the fact that we've been working remote for 2 years already, and that everybody is aware of the fact that, you know, this talent market is so super tight, and this war for talent is indeed there, and it's not gonna stop.
No, I fully agree. And you know what's interesting about this is that if you look at the companies that have been successful in hiring that talent and finding that talent, it wasn't about the brand. It was about their approach on recruitment. And there are more and more companies that actually take the approach of the recruiter as a sales person, as a sales individual, and also compensating them in that same way. And the companies that have been successful in hiring recently have all taken that approach without any exceptions. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting to see that resistance. But if you look at what's happening out there, and if you open up your eyes, then it's a non-discussion. It's already there.
Mm. You mentioned earlier that it was difficult to hire at first, and now it's not anymore. And that's probably because the company has grown at such a size with such a sort of pull factor, that it's easier to get in touch, to get in front of candidates, and to also make a more compelling offer. What are some practical tips that you can share for hiring at scale remotely?
Yeah, so maybe to elaborate on that a bit more. It was challenging because we didn't have the platform of Deel. And now we use our own platform because we had that pain, and we understood, or our founders and the team around them that started this company understood the way to resolve it. Mm-hmm. That has definitely been a big boost in order to find that talent. As soon as you found that perfect candidate, within a few clicks, you can set up a contract which is compliant. It's very easy. You can benchmark pay in the platform. So there's so many angles that we have thought of that are there for the ease of our customers and for the ease of ourselves, because we practice what we preach. That is what has made it so much easier to find and attract, but also hire people across the globe. So it's because we set it up. Now, yes, it's going to help if you are on that on the journey that we are as a company, but it doesn't mean that it is a restriction to companies that want to get on that journey, that want to be there. Because if you position yourselves well, and if you practice what you preach, then candidates will automatically see that and experience that from the beginning. They have that that connection with you.
I think that's really smart. Obviously, you know, it's easier said than done. This is a moving organism that you need to build. You had a few tips which you shared with me when we prepared for this call, and You mentioned a few do's and don'ts and that I think are worth sharing. I think one was around, you know, being authentic. Yep. You have a philosophy around this. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, but I think that's in general for every business. And if you can openly share that to the world, then you will be more appreciated as a leader, as an individual, as an employee, etc. So be yourself, be authentic, and allow others to be authentic as well. Mm-hmm. So don't ask people to play a role, but show how you really are, because that will encourage everyone that you work with to show themselves as well. And if you're truly yourself, then you are the best of yourself and the worst of yourself, but it's the best of yourself that we're looking after. Mm-hmm. And you will put that in your work as well.
Yep.
So I think it's an underestimated value that if you can share that from the initial contact with any candidate or any potential hire, then that's a great value that will be appreciated with everyone across the globe. Because it's about the person and not about what you expect that person to be.
And on the other side, it's also around, you know, misrepresenting the company towards talent. Because if you position yourselves any different than what candidates can expect in real life, you will probably face attrition. Yeah. So being authentic on that side is typically also very important.
Right? Yeah, no. Absolutely true. And I can refer to my journey at Deel. My first contact with Deel was, this is too good to be true. This is a speed train passing by. I can jump on now, but if I jump on now, I have to jump on. And it really is a speed train. Everything went really fast. The hiring went really fast. And I got this impression of the company. And then when I joined, one of the things that you do automatically in your brain and in your feeling, in your heart, is this actually what I expected it to be? And I can say out loud that it is far more than I even dare to expect. It is a great journey, and it is living up to all the expectations that I had from that hiring process. And if I think that comes down to authenticity and to the low entry type of culture that has been created. And I think there are the keys to attracting that talent, because you feel valued as an individual from the first contact that you have with your mm-hmm. potential new employer.
Yeah, cool. And then ultimately, you know, building this culture is imperative, but on a very practical level, we also get a lot of questions from our partners that want to hire remotely, but face difficulties, for example, in benchmarking salaries, face difficulties in understanding, you know, what type of engagement models are there that you can really choose from. Can you elaborate a little bit? Because you mentioned you have a salary benchmarking feature.
Yep.
We obviously also do a lot of research on salary benchmarks, but you have it baked into your product, so you can immediately see the level of pay that is appropriate for this type of position in any country. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
And how did this originate, and to what extent is this applicable for everybody who uses the platform?
Yeah, well, it's applicable for almost every role that we have in the system. It is based on the data that we've collected over the course of time. We have many anonymized, benchmarking points in the system mm-hmm. of payments that we've done or that went through our platform. So we know what the different levels of pay are for every role in every country across the globe, because we've done it. We have that data and we can offer that in a benchmarking way. So you can immediately see within one click what the low level of pay would be and what the high level of pay would be and what the average pay for that role is. And that will it's already there, mm-hmm. and the more data we will have, and we will have a lot more data, the better it even gets, the stronger it even gets. Yeah.
And you have this for two type of engagement models, right? You're constantly speaking about contractors and employee on record.
Yes, correct.
Can you substantiate between the two?
Yes, of course. So contractors are what it implies, mm-hmm. a freelancer or a contractor that is working as a temporary hire for an organization who is not on the payroll, but is paid for the services they provide based on their hourly fee or monthly rate or whatever you agreed upon. So that's the one. The other, the employee of record, is basically a setup where we, on the one hand, have a master service agreement with our customers. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, we ensure the payment of the employees that are employees of record. Mm-hmm. So we have a contractual obligation towards those employees.
Okay, understood. And is this the definitive amount of or definitive, let's say, models that you can pick and choose from if you want to hire people remotely?
For now, yes. But one very exciting natural next step to complete the circle, basically, is global payroll. Mm-hmm. So even if companies have people already on their payroll, we could simplify that payroll for every country around the globe and ensure that the payroll is done from one system with all the benefits that come with having everything centralized into one system.
That sounds very exciting.
It's very exciting. It's very cool.
It's actually such a great tool, you know, for founders to leverage in building their business and getting exposure to a wider audience of talent that can ultimately help them build their organizations. So I think it's, you know, super, super essential. And maybe if there's one thing you could share with the founders who are listening, you know, one piece of advice or one lesson learned that they can practically implement or keep into mind in building their business, what would it be?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. What I would say is that we recognize the struggle of wanting to find talent outside of your borders, or opening a business outside of the borders or outside of the regions that you currently work in. And it can come across as a big hurdle to take because there's lots of advisory involved. If you do it the traditional way, there can be, you have to set up an entity, so you need accounting and there's a lot of hurdles to take. Then you have the legal aspects to it that you normally will not have all the knowledge about. So you need advisory on that point as well. So it can be quite expensive. It can be quite cumbersome. It can be quite long. But there are easier solutions out there. And we offer that easy solution where we have taken all of that into account. So the business case is almost a no-brainer in working with Deel. So if you want to scale and if you want to do it, don't try and reinvent the wheel, because the wheel is already out there.
Exactly.
And
don't build your own solutions, yeah. Essentially. Cool. And if somebody wants to get more information, where can they go to? Where can we direct them to?
I'm there. We're operational, so they can always go directly to me. Have a look at letsdeel.com. There you can find all the information you need. Every individual working at Deel is more than happy to assist every question that will come our way.
Cool. Perfect. Thank you very much, Dennis. A pleasure speaking with you, and great to learn more about Deel's adventure and how it benefits the life of founders who are looking to build an international business.
Well, thank you for having me, and looking forward to working with you.
Cool. Perfect. Thanks.
Bye.